Blog Talk Radio.
Rapture-centric church. I got Dustin Wright with me, the prophet.
The false prophet. Just kidding, not false prophet. Good afternoon, RTC and Jason Chambers, my lovely brother. How are you today?
Hey, Dustin, I'm good, brother. I got to sleep in today and catch up on all my Z's. And Dustin, he sleeps in. And he took a nap this afternoon. He's just all about sleeping today.
All about sleeping, man. I think I'm just going to hibernate until we leave, man. I think that's what I'm going to do. Go into a coma.
I don't think you're going to be hibernating for too long, brother.
No, I don't think so either. I think it'll be till this weekend if I did hibernate, because we're leaving. We're out of here. We are out of here.
Amen.
Another day, another beautiful day waiting on the Lord, though. Hope everybody's having a blessed day. Standing outside right now. It's nice.
It's nice here in Kansas, brother. I'm going to mow my lawn tomorrow and second time. I didn't think I was going to be able to mow my lawn this year, guys, and Lord bless me. I love mowing my lawn. I love mowing.
Mm-hmm. Mowing's fun.
Before I found out what the Lord's plans were for me, you know, I had a lot of thinking to do about what I wanted to do, and I was like, you know what I want to do in heaven is mow.
Did
you imagine mowing heavenly grass?
It would be. The smell would be lovely. Just cutting the grass with your little cup of lemonade and your straw hat. Mowing the grasses of heaven. But yeah, man, it will be awesome. We're gonna experience all of that very soon, very shortly. So, yes, sir, Bob. Today's April 5th. The time is just moving along, man, you know. I just feel, does it not, the days feel shortened to you or something? I mean, it really does. Time is just flying along. We're almost moving into mid-April right now.
Well, April, then this blood moon's got me just sitting here on the edge of my seat. It really does. You know, we've talked about the Super Bowls and Christmas and all sorts of different things. But, you know, this whole, the tetrads, the blood moons, is, you know, that's a biblical event. And, you know, everybody, didn't matter who you are, everybody's excited about, I'm sorry, I've been trolling here. See, Roman, he's not American,
Roman.
So I take it easy on him. He IM'd me here. He gave me a personal message from chat. He thought I was Judy. And so I told him, I said, Roman, I think it's time for us to meet in real life. I'm falling in love with you. I got him all sorts of twisted up. Roman, that's me, buddy. Not Judy. She's rapture-centric in the morning.
That's cute.
I know.
This is the evening,
that's
Roman.
Too much
fun. Not the morning.
Yeah, she's rapture-centric in the morning, brother. He got all excited there for a second. Oh, my God, Judy's in love with me. Who wants to meet in real life? These tetrads, brother, these tetrads are just over the top cool. And, you know, it's something real. It's something legitimate. It's a lot of things we do is off of speculation. You know, the one that's got me twisted up the most recently, guys, is the Noah movie.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've been waiting on this movie here to come out. I didn't think we were going to be here for it. And I'm like, hey, it's coming out. I get to watch it, you know. And then people start talking about it on the show. And even my wife was saying that, you know, what she had heard about the movie and stuff. And I was like, well, let's just ask the Lord if we can go see it. And he was like, nope. And I'm like,
nope.
Seriously? I waited all this time. Didn't think we were going to be here. And I was thinking, well, if we are here, I am going to go. I don't go to the theater, guys. I hate the theater.
Haven't been
I don't know
forever.
What it is. You know what I mean? And so, you know, and I'm like here at the, like, oh, now after opening weekend, I ask you if I can go, and you're like, nope. But I'm like, okie dokie, Lord. Whatever you say,
you
Lord.
Say so. I guess because he's just like, come on, man, you're going to be in the ark in a few hours from now. You don't need to go see Noah. You know, if there's nothing you don't know. You know about the story. You're going to really be in my ark shortly, so you don't have to go see Noah, Jason. That's what God was saying. But it does look like a cool movie, though. It does look like a cool movie.
It does, man. But you know what I found out about it? Pat had sent me some things on it, too. But Chris from Ohio was talking about it, you know, and she's like, I'm going to boycott it. You know, and I'm like, well, maybe, you know, because some people are more sensitive to it. You just never know. You know, to each his own is the way I always see that is. And I'm like, oh, you know, what religious group is ever going to agree on an accurate movie from the Bible? You know, everybody's going to be like, oh, no, they didn't portray this right or portray that right. But apparently this Noah movie shows the Nephilim, the fallen angels, coming down to try to help Noah build the boat, and God punishes them for it. And so basically it kind of glorifies, it makes you feel bad for the fallen angels, and it shows animals that are evolutionary animals, and you know, I believe in microevolution. I mean, it's just, that's just science. You can see it, just the adapting to your environment type evolution. But you know, the other side of that, the bigger picture
fallen
of evolution,
angels,
you know, is not cool. Yeah, glorifying fallen angels, and yeah, apparently the Lord's not too happy about this. When he told my wife, he's like, you know, they're going to use my story to make money off of me, and none of it's true, and da da da. So I'm just going to be obedient. I'm just going to listen to what the Lord has to say and roll on.
See, look, they're making movies, false movies about the Lord. You need to come on. Come on with it. Don't let these people do this to you. I bet you won't come. I bet you won't come. You got to taunt the Lord to get him to come.
He's going to come with the thunder.
Come with the thunder. The thunder and lightning like Thor. The new Captain America looked pretty cool as well. I wish you could go see that. But what's the next? It's another,
you know,
another biblical movie coming out as well, Exodus. It's supposed to be about Moses.
I've really been enjoying some of the Old Testament. I got through the book of Daniel yesterday. That's a cool book. I mean, guys, and I'm telling my wife about it. She's like, yes, Jason, we learned that in Bible school, or when, you know, in whatever daycare church when you're a kid, whatever it's called, Bible study or kids' church, whatever the heck it's called. She's like, yeah, we learned all that back then, you know, and I'm like, yeah, okay, well, I just learned about it, so get off my back.
Come on, Ashley. We're just catching up. Daniel's an awesome book, man. I love Daniel. It's got some good stories in there, some powerful prophetic words in there.
That's what I think is so cool, man, is that he goes through they put him in the fire, nothing happens to him. You know, they try to get him, people come after him, like, oh, yeah, you can put me in the fire, I don't care. You know, and then it's like, oh, yeah, put me in there with the lions, you know. What's the lion going to do to me?
The lion's in there purring with him. Awesome.
What I thought was cool about the book of Daniel, and I'm not going to preach or anything, but, you know, I know I was supposed to read it because I've had several things come up from it since then. And, okay, guys, I have to confess, I didn't read it. I watched the movie. All right, there, the truth's out.
What movie? The Daniel Project?
No, I watched the Daniel Project. This is it's on Netflix, though. It's the Book of Daniel. Just the Book of Daniel.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I saw that.
Good
too.
It's very good.
Okay.
And but no, it just, you know, all these people that when Daniel was there, you know, serving all these kings, you know, these people tried to come after him all the time and tried to get him, and basically get him killed all the time. And, you know, they even conspired together. They're like, how do we, you know, we got to get this Daniel guy. And they're like, well, we can't find anything wrong with him. He just doesn't do this, and he doesn't respond to this, and we can't find any fault in this man. And I thought that was really cool, because I see it as, you know, we're all human. We all make mistakes, right? I mean, I make mistakes. Dustin, you make mistakes, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I do.
I know I do. But I thought what was cool about it is they couldn't basically pin Daniel down, because no matter what, he was always serving the Lord. He took everything before the Lord. And if you take everything before the Lord, how can people ever find fault in you? I mean, they're going to not like you. They're going to think you suck and you know, hate the fact that maybe you're so good and nobody can be that good and all this stuff. But, you know, he took everything to the Lord. He served the Lord and put him first before anything. And, you know, I kind of see that kind of lining up with what we've all been doing, the whole family here. You know, we've all reached out to our families and friends and coworkers and everything and told them about the Lord's return and hoping to get people saved and hoping to, you know, make the harvest as big as possible. And, you know, the world wants to call you crazy and stupid you know, try to basically act like you're some kind of Satan, say, listening to demons, or you're Satanist, or all this nonsense. And, you know, whether it's
same
a person that doesn't
Jesus.
Believe in the Bible. What's that?
Same things that they said to Jesus himself, that he was possessed with demons.
Yeah, the church rejected Jesus. They didn't like him. He was a threat, you know. And, you know, whether it's an atheist or, you know, even worse yet, a person that really knows their Bible through and through, that doesn't know Jesus. They know the Bible, but they don't know Jesus. And, you know, putting, basically trying to act like, we don't have the capacity to understand God. We don't. We have no freaking clue. We can share in emotions of excitement and happiness and sadness and depression and joy and praise. But, you know, we're not holy. We're not holy at all. We don't have it in our finite brains to be able to understand what or who God is. Now, we can learn about some of his character through the scriptures.
What he told us.
We can learn. Yeah, we can learn. We learn what he told us.
Man, through a personal relationship.
Yeah, the personal relationship is exactly, that's where I was going, doesn't it? Is that right there, you know, it's about you seeking him. Let him show you. Let him show you what he has for your life. Let him show you what you need to repent from, not man. Let, you know, I can sit back and judge every person in this whole group, and it doesn't matter one bit. Didn't do me any good and didn't do you any good. The only thing I care about is serving my God. That's all I care about. I'm going to do his will. I don't have to be happy. I don't have to be sad. I don't have to be any of those things. The only thing that's important to me is serving my God, Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's all I want to do. And I think it's neat that he brought us all to this place, because that's what's important to us. You know, I don't think any of us are doing this because we think, well, if I do this, then I'll definitely make the rapture. You truly want to make God happy. You truly want to serve him. And we're going to serve him through eternity, so I don't ever see how this stops. But it's learning how to, which is just being obedient to where he guides us, who he puts in our lives, and just going through it.
Showing that love of Jesus Christ, that's the best role model you can have. It's him himself. You know, so when you're following him, that's the best role model you can be to other people around you, regardless of age, if you're following him. You don't even have to mention the rapture and a lot of different things to people if you don't. But if you're showing the love of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit is going to fall on people, and you're going to leave an impact on them that makes them smile, and God will show them things and work on them through that, you know. So with him, that's why the evil can't stand the people that love Jesus Christ. It can't stand his presence in people, because we feel like that we're invincible, and it's because we are, because we admit to our faults. We know that we're sinners. We'll admit to that. So somebody that can admit to that, they can't be defeated. That's kind of what Daniel was too. That's the reason why they couldn't find any faults to him, because he was basically just an honest man. He knows he wasn't a perfect man, you know. So men like that worship God, you cannot be defeated. None of us can, you know. We have our powers in our Creator, Jesus Christ, and he's the one that fights our battles for us. We don't really fight our battles. Let him fight our battles, and that's what he said to do. That's why he said pray for your enemies as well, because, you know, he does things to people that really plot on you and do evil things to you or set out to hurt you, and you've done nothing. He does things to your enemies that you don't even want done. That's why he says just pray for them. Don't even retaliate. Just pray for them, because I'll do something. If I have to, I'll do something to protect my children that they never wanted done, that you wouldn't want done, you know. So, you know, we have the ultimate protection. Yeah. Everybody has access to it. We have the ultimate protection. All you have to do is just call out to him and ask him, say, Lord, please come into my heart, protect me and my family, and I believe in you, and follow his voice that leads you. You know, show love to people and be obedient to him. And he'll speak to you. He speaks to us every single day, all day. I couldn't ask for anything more than what he just did for me recently with my friend that called into the evening show, a childhood friend that had a rapture dream, his first rapture dream, and an earthquake happened, and then the rapture happened. Now, does he know? He doesn't know that the world is getting major earthquakes right now, and he didn't know about the blood moon coming up until I told him. But in his rapture dream, a huge earthquake happened, and then the rapture happened. And it's his first dream ever, just blew his mind. I mean, this is a guy I haven't seen in years. So first I had a dream about him, and we were in a plane flying, and I didn't know what it meant. I was like, wow, I haven't seen that guy in my dream in years. Next thing I know, I see the guy at the store. I'm like, wow, dude, I had a dream about you. And let me tell you what's going on. I guess God wanted you to hear this. So now God has been giving him rapture dreams, and he's also brought other people in his rapture dreams that he wants him to reach out to. So it's just, it's incredible how, and God's doing that all over the planet right now. He's doing that all over the planet, bringing people together like he has done with RCC, you know, like he's doing with people all over the world and showing them the Lord's coming, however he can do it, however he can do it, you know. The entertainment industry is the way he's been doing it. He's been having to shake some people up, shake you up with your earthquakes. He's been doing a lot of different things. He's been doing a lot of things. Those are gifts to us as we wait. A lot of these big conspiracies out right now with your plane, your Malaysia plane, that's a huge sign of the rapture, you know, going missing. But I do find it is awesome, though, Jason, that everything has kind of led up to this point of the blood moon where everything kind of spills over, it seems.
Well, and, you know, what's interesting about that, brother, is I think about we're here at that blood moon point. And it's here lately, I haven't been hearing a whole lot from the Lord. And I haven't been getting the Spirit on me like crazy like I was. And, you know, I talked to Judy about it here the other day. And, you know, when that starts happening, you start feeling that maybe you're not doing something correct. Or maybe you've done something wrong and the Lord's pulled away from you. And that's not the case. Whether you feel him or not. Whether you think he's there, he's always there with you. And it's made really understanding, getting an understanding of what faith is. Now, the only thing that I've ever known about faith is what people have described it as or what came about on my own, which, you know, faith usually came up as filling in the gaps. You know, and I don't think that that's what it is to me anymore. It's not about filling in the gaps for what we don't know. And I know we've always had a lot of fun on here, guys. We've been through a lot, but I've been thinking about what the Lord has done for me and raised me up over the past several months through this family. You know, the Lord would give me a lot of stuff to preach on in the shows. It never was me. It was always him. And a lot of times I wouldn't even hear Dustin when he would talk because I was asking, Lord, is that what you wanted me to say? And he would be saying, no, keep talking. And I'd be like, Lord, what do you want me to say? And he's like, just keep talking. And a lot of that stuff came out. And what's neat about it is I was learning from it the whole time. I may have been saying it may have seemed like I was so convicted of everything that I was saying, but it wasn't. It was him. And, you know, I'm grateful for this entire family. I'm grateful for everybody here. We've all been here together for each other and have had a lot of blessings for this. And I'm grateful for every single bit of it. I am happy for everything. But the Lord also told me today that tonight was my last night doing the show. And I am going to be obedient. I know. And I was talking to the Lord, and I was like, well, Lord, this seems very abrupt. And, you know, I was like, this is kind of big. You know, you want me to stop doing this? And he gave me the impression that he was finishing this, him.
Mm-hmm.
And
amen.
You know, and basically what he had for me is this. And so, you know, tonight will be the last night that I'm doing the show, guys. And I told you everything that happened. I don't want anybody to say that there's any drama behind the scenes of this, because there's none. But, you know, I will listen to what the Lord has for me to do, and this is what he wants me to do. You know. It's not a personal decision at all because I still love all you guys. You've all done a lot for me, and I'm very grateful. So, the Lord's coming back here any second, and I do believe it is here this month. So,
that's pretty. Pretty big. I mean, I definitely feel the Spirit when you're saying this, man, and I know the Lord is the one that really led you to say that and to feel this way. And I truly believe it. I thought we could be out today. This translation is any day now. So I truly believe he told you that. That is major, and I feel it could be tomorrow, the reason why he's telling you that, you know. I was telling my sister earlier today, I said, she may be listening now. I told her, I was like, this RCC was not created to last for years here. It wasn't created for a church here because we know what period we're at. We're already in the tribulation, the last 7 years of time. Obama is the Antichrist. Pope Francis is the false prophet. We know this now. So that alone, us knowing that we're in those last 7 years and where we are now, we know that the church wouldn't have much time left because this planet doesn't. So I've told many people, like, don't go out and do something stupid, but even the prisoners, if you get 20 years now, you're not doing 20 years. This planet doesn't even have 20 years. This economy doesn't. Not even five. There's not even 5 years left on planet Earth. Now, that might sound far-fetched, but God has showed me in my walk as a prophet that the tribulation period is 2010 to 2017. We can all go to God about these things, but this is what God has shown me through time, over time, that I had to keep seeking this, you know. 2010 to 2017, and dead smack the middle of the Great Tribulation is the first blood moon, April 2014. The first half of the tribulation is the first 3.5 years. That's already passed. That's ending now in April. So this Great Tribulation is starting. So that's why the moon will be turned to blood. That's why countries are at war right now. That's why John Kerry is working on this peace agreement, because we leave now. This is our time to leave. You know, we're not going to be here this summer. We truly won't be here this fall. And this is what, it's been a journey to get to this point, and it's been an incredible journey. And you're right, it's a lot of the reason why a lot of words, some people that have been following the Lord, they're not getting too many words lately. They have a kind of a peace. We have a peace about us because we know it's here now. It's finally here. And it doesn't feel like it in the flesh, but we feel it in the spirit still, because we know the things that are going on this planet, amazing and incredible things, all these earthquakes. We're having people, all these testimonies of people having more rapture dreams and visions that God doesn't have to do, but he's doing it to let us know he's coming, just like I talked about with my childhood friend that had a rapture dream and the earthquake, little things like that. So that's all he's doing until he gets here, you know, and really he's been healing a lot of people here at RCC, and God told Judy that's what he's going to do, and he also told me that as well, that from now until we leave here, which is any day now, we're going to be getting healed, and we're going to fellowship until he leaves, but it won't be too much more revelation, you know, it'll just be more of a healing and just, you know, to share and talk with each other, you know, kind of a, you know, just to worship together, fellowship together, and just to get past time by, because it's time to go, it really is. He told me, you guys, that we will be gone by the 8th. Which is 1 week before the blood moon. Right now, I truly believe that the rapture is going to be around April 15th on that blood moon. The moon is supposed to be turned to dark and red due to a lunar eclipse. You can look this up. This is not something that we're just speculating on. This will be the first blood moon since 1967 of a four blood moon tetrad, the first since 1967. There's 4 blood moons coming up right now. And that's why April 15th is significant, because it's the first blood moon out of the 4. The next one is in October. The next one after that is next April. And the one after that is next September. And what's significant about these blood moons are that they land on God's feast days. There's 7 Jewish feast days that God has. There's his holy days, if you will. That's where the word holiday came from, God's holy days. So our holidays are all pagan. They're really like Satan's false holy days. They're holidays, but God has actually his own holidays, and there's 7 of them. And these 4 blood moons coming up land on those feast days. The chances of that happening, slim. I mean, probably 1 in millions and millions and millions of a chance to happen, you know. So God told us some things to look for when it came to his coming. You know, and all that stuff is here now. So it's really incredible. God also showed people it will be a major earthquake the day of the rapture. And there's places on this planet right now getting hundreds and hundreds of earthquakes. We've all kind of, everybody at RCC's had an earthquake pretty much near where we are, pretty much, you know. And it's just incredible, man. So this really is it. Like I said, again, it's not going to feel like it in the flesh, but it will in the spirit. And I'm not going to lie, earlier today, Jason, I literally felt my body, when I'm sitting here, I was praying to the Lord, I was meditating, Like my body literally felt like I was imploding or something. Like I thought, I really did. I thought we were going to get translated earlier today, like right before I took a nap, man, because I was just walking around the house talking to God, and I just I felt different than I've ever felt in my life. I really did. I thought this was it. I was like, oh, my gosh, this is it, you know, but it wasn't really anything. I guess God was just kind of giving me some type of feeling, but, yeah, man, that's how close we are.
Well, you know, as much as my mind says, you know, don't get yourself worked up, don't get yourself excited, but in my spirit just knows it's time. And it's not from the Lord saying, hey, it's time or this or that. Of course, he tells me that still all the time, but you know, it's just different. And in the spirit, it's like knowing it. And at the same time, my flesh is like, sure it is. You know what I mean? And
sure it is, Lord.
You know, and whether it was the blood, I don't know. I mean, for me, it's like I said, it's not my mind doing this. It's because it's in the spirit. And, you know, the blood moon to me is just something from my mind. You know, it's just something from my flesh to see something physical. I mean, I feel the Lord here. And, you know, it's basically fulfillment. And, you know, just like everything that's happened in the last several months in our lives, in our personal lives, on the show, everything, were for his reasons, reasons he had for you. Serving him, growing in him, becoming closer to him, receiving his love.
Through his other brothers and sisters.
Yeah. Sharing in our walks, blessing each other, you know, all these different things. And it's time. And I think the Lord is just wants you for himself. I think that he wants to spend real quality time with all of us. And, you know, always seek the Lord for everything. Anything that comes up, seek the Lord yourself. Ask him. He'll tell you. You have to ask the Lord, and you sometimes have to be patient waiting for the answer. And that's the tough one. But I know that Pat had texted me earlier today and said that she had some stuff that she wanted to share. So I want to bring Pat on here. She had talked about some things that were really important to her, and she's excited. So I love that. So hello, Pat.
Hi. Yeah. How's everybody? I know we're all hanging on. I had written down like 8 different things about, you know, just to encourage us about the, you know, like he's got to be at the door kind of thinking, you know. And also, I have to tell you, the strange, I put on my music, it's Music Choice, and the names of the titles, you've got to hear the names of these titles. And they're like right in your face, like when I just put them on, or one that will follow. And one was, When Will I See You Again? The second one was If You Believe from the album Pure. The other one came on Contentment, First Light. Another one was Eternal Majesty. And then one of the funniest ones, this is funny, but it, you know, he has a sense of humor. Good Time to Fly Away on a Magic Carpet. That's the name of the song. It really is. So I laughed at that. And then tonight, I was, just before I come on, it was like this baby music, like bells ringing. It's called Carousel. It says, Because I Love You. So, and that was in 2004, that music. So I'm looking at 24. I don't know if anybody ever got 424 or the date. I don't know. Just that went through me. And then the last one was Night Train, and the musician was named Sky. So, I mean, he's just throwing the stuff, and then I'm sitting there praying to him and looking at him and saying, you know, I want to be with you so much. And he says, yes, I know. Many want to be with me so much. And he said, the bridegroom will not tarry. So he said that to me. That was just not even a half an hour ago, you know. So I wanted to share that. But I wanted to share just a recap of stuff that's going on. We've heard this before, and I'm going to do this quick. But it's like I had to write this stuff down. And he even I have chicken scratch as I write. And he made me go to 3 kind of papers, and he said, put it on a paper that you can turn it over and write it on the other side, because he knows how I can't read my writing sometimes. He had me write this over twice so I could read it, you know. And hold on a second. Hang on.
I'm kind of the same way, Pat.
Yeah, okay. Hold on.
Got a little chicken scratch, too.
Just, can you hang on 1 second, please? Guys, can you hang on just one second? Yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
Hello?
Absolutely.
Yes. Okay, can I talk to him in about a couple of hours because I'm on the phone, long distance? All right, well, I'll call you. Thank you. Right, bye-bye. Now, that was my, yeah, that was my son, Sean, my special needs.
Hey,
ones. Yeah, he's going to come
tomorrow.
You got
to switch up from using the long distance thing because there nobody pays for long distance anymore.
Oh, I know. I'm just telling them that because I'm like,
come
saying,
on, Pat.
Yeah, the message is I can't talk to you right now, but I'll talk to him later. Okay, before I forget, though, on a more serious note, before I read this, my daughter from New Hampshire is coming here. She might be splitting up with her husband because of his drinking problem. So keep Miriam and Steve in deep prayer because they've been married, like, going on 7 years. They don't have any kids yet. She's been putting it off because of what's going on. And so she's going to come here tonight. She's really upset. She called my daughter at 1 o'clock in the morning last night, upset because she doesn't know if she's going to end the marriage or not because of his terrible drinking. And I said she can stay. We have an extra bedroom. I said if she needs to do that and stay here, she can do that because there's no reason she has to stay with a man who's going to be drinking. And he's been warned again and again. And my daughter's a beautiful soul. And she knows about the rapture. She knows she's the one I had at 42. She's 28 years old. And so she's 29 in August. So, I mean, pray for Miriam and Steve in New Hampshire that they can hold on to their marriage. But he's had some serious problems. He lost his father years ago. They got the IV wrong, and it killed him in the hospital. So there's a terrible tragedy there, and I think he's suffering still from depression from that. So I can understand this man has problems, but she's wanting him to go to counseling and everything, and he won't. And you make your bed, you lie in it. And if you're going to do that to somebody and not try to get better or help the situation, then if that person goes away, then, hey, you know, what am I saying here? It's something we all say. If you can save everything, fine, you know, but he won't stop the drinking, and this has been going on for over a year and more. So we're in a situation. She's coming tonight late. And I'll be up, you know, talking with her and my other daughter, trying to figure out what her next move is. But she's got work there and everything else. They have a house, you know. So I just need you to pray, you know, the whole family to pray for my daughter Miriam and her husband Stephen, in New Hampshire. So that's that. Okay.
Definitely.
Yeah, do you want to give us a prayer on that one, brother?
Yeah,
yes,
go
sir.
Ahead.
I'll pray
this to you. Yeah.
Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we lift Pat's family up right now, Heavenly Father. We ask that you work in their family and pour out your Holy Spirit. We know that you're going to take care of her daughter, Lord. We follow you, so we know we don't have to worry about anything. You said you would handle it if we just put our problems on you, Lord. You told us that we can't turn one of our hairs black or white, so why would we worry about our future and our decisions, Lord God? So we just put it on you. We ask that you make the right decisions and be with us and hold us, Lord God. I ask right now that you pour out your blessings all on RCC right now, wherever we are, the different nations that are listening right now, Lord God. Pour out your Holy Spirit, Lord God, and infuse us with it and get us prepared for your coming, Lord God. Give us more dreams and visions and revelations and words. And most of all, Lord, we just want your peace and love, Lord God, because that stuff comes after you just have the peace and love of knowing who you are. So we thank you for bringing us together, Lord. We thank you for creating this powerful, amazing church. And we thank you for everybody listening, Lord God. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Jason, just quick before I read this, I have to say I have an incredibly close, intimate walk with the Lord, but there are days, my dear friend, my brother, that you kind of wonder, where are you? And this is normal. This is just normal, but because he says sometimes you'll feel me more, you'll feel me less, but I never change. I'm always by your side, and he's always telling me that because sometimes I don't always feel him as used to as I am feeling him, okay? And it's did I do something wrong? And it's no, I'm there all the time. He says don't have feelings like that, you know. And he says like all of us, he's watching all of us all the time, and he loves us all the time. But it's sometimes we're just left our own thoughts and ways. Maybe he's looking to see how we digest things or what attitude we take. Maybe it's a little testy thing, you know. I don't know. But he'll talk to me and say everything is fine. Like I love you, you know. I love this I love you thing, and don't be worried, and he'll thank me for whatever. And it's not always with emotions and stuff. Sometimes it's very emotional what I have with him, and other times it's not. But it's like, don't let this throw you, and don't let the enemy come in and try to convince you that something's wrong, because there really isn't anything wrong. As long as you're still being sincere with him and loving, he's right there with you all the time. But we do go through these moments where we feel like things are a little bit withdrawn, and I've had over 50 years of this. So you're listening to an old pro here about dealing with beloved. Okay, on that sweet note, so don't be discouraged, guys. He loves you madly. It's just we have moments we don't always feel him so close, but it doesn't mean he's gone anywhere, you know. And
think about this. You feel his presence. You know, everybody listening right now, God is probably, you've heard something about his coming to even be felt, to be led here. So you're feeling his presence in what's happening around the world. You're feeling his presence. You're feeling like, Lord, you have to do something. You have to intervene. You're feeling his presence in your family situations, in your personal situations where you might be struggling or anything that's going on. You're feeling him some way. So you're right, Pat.
Is that
days,
what it is? Is that, Dustin, is that what it is, that we're feeling maybe his pain or his sadness, and like we're not always going to feel like, whoop, whoop, de-doo, you know, it's like we're feeling some of his stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm. Because it's so beautiful. Because think about it. It's beautiful that we know so much about his coming, and he showed us all of the timing to where we really, there's nothing else for us to know. I mean, honestly, and that's being because we're in the tribulation, you guys. I mean, there's only one point in time where you could say we know so much about his coming to where there's nothing else that we need to know, and it's now. It's now. If you're not alive now, you've never been able to say that. But if you're alive and you're living in 2014, we are in the middle of the tribulation, and there is nothing else to know. So the only thing that you need right now to wait on him is healing, his love. But if you ask him when he's coming, he's just going to tell you, I'm coming now. That's all he's going to tell you. He may give you a date coming up. But as far as especially in RCC, I mean, we know we got April. I mean, that's all it is to it. You know, we take it a day at a time. He says he's coming now. We've gotten so much about April. You know, there's so much going on, so we're here. And we are feeling some of his emotions as well, because it's a lot of judgment going to be poured out at the same time while he's taking us. Okay. And, you know, he is asking us to bear with him as he does that, but he knows he has to do it, and he's ready to do it. He's ready to do it. Yeah.
Well, I'll just do this quick recap. You know, it's just like a refresher course to me, and I know the Lord kind of wanted me to write this down, and it gave me peace. So I share everything with everybody. So I just hope that it's just like a clearing of the mind kind of notes that I have. And it was one, Israel 1948, generation 70 years. It's 66 years already. This generation will not pass away, he said. So, and the peace talks, and the month of April, and Israel, looking at that. That was one. Two, and the Gospels preached all around the world. That was one of the other signs. Three, Daniel, for the last days, the information is sealed up. And if you look at these last days with the information, it's like over the top and off the charts, you know, stuff going to the moon and everything else. It's beyond, you know, just using a computer and stuff. The other thing is from 2011 about all the ones in the thousands getting messages, dreams, visions, and, you know, we're all hearing all this stuff, quitting work and talking to families, and, you know, and then the other one, five, is the world conditions. This is the Antichrist, the tribulation, all the evil, and reading the Bible is like reading the last days that we're in. You know, it lists all these things. It's like the time of Noah, and earthquakes and weather anomalies. We're looking at all this with all this stuff that's, you know, very disturbing to us. And then the other thing, six, good people, sincerely in love of God, getting all this, isn't God hearing us? Isn't he talking to these people? Well, yeah, he is talking to us, and he's telling us things. The other thing, I'm thinking of Ashley's recent message, you know, we know what that was, and Rhodey coming on and everything. And then the other one, the eighth one, the last one, just look at our church, and look at all the loving people who we have even seen or know, who don't know each other at all, but have come together in Christ loving each other, and we haven't even looked at each other. Some of us don't even know each other, and yet we all want to be his love in our sweet Jesus, in him, by him, for him, because of him, with him. We all are one in him, in the genuine sincerity of our hearts, as these, our family, his family, ready to go. And he doesn't even have to teach us to fly. We'll just be able to go right up. So we're right at the door. And then number eight, A, I want to make pizzas the manja, people. You know.
Hey, man, the best one yet. Gotta have a pizza.
So all the stuff is like you got you. And see, I always ask the Holy Spirit, what's the theme for tonight? Well, I think it's encouragement and just going over like the notes I did, like, look at all this stuff, Jesus. We're right at the door. Are we not right at the door, beloved? Are we not right at the door? Look at all this stuff. You know, you're talking to people who are genuinely in love with you and are aware of everything that has happened, is happening, and going to happen. So you are at the door, aren't you? Well, yeah, he is. So just some encouragement, you know, that we hang on
Amen,
and believe
Pat.
And
Amen.
Support each other and be family and just love and talk to the Lord. Talk to the Lord. And if you don't always feel fuzzy, you know, sometimes I say, you know, like I said, to tell him, come into my arms. Put your head on my shoulder. Let your tears fall into my heart. Let me console you. We're human together. So now it's my turn with my arms to hold you, my beautiful God man, my spouse, my Savior, my God, my Creator, in my arms and feel your pain. So if I'm not feeling, you know, all, you know, whatever, all, you know, then let me feel your pain. It, you know, it goes both ways. He consoles us and we console him. Learn to console him.
Amen.
Reach those arms out and say, Jesus, come here. You need a good cry? Cry on my shoulder. It's okay. I understand. It's my turn.
Amen.
It's my turn.
Pat. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Bless you, Pat.
No, bless you all. We're all here together for each other in the Lord.
For a reason.
For a reason. Yes.
It's all a lot
big,
of people, like you said, Pat. You said this well. It's a bunch of people that are sincere about God's love, and we're sincere about what He showed us about His coming.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
If we were just completely off track, then you wouldn't have a building of a church. You'd just have a few people talking crazy every day. But this
it's
is
not
really,
20 people. It's 20,000 people,
mm-hmm.
or more.
You know, it's a lot of people.
There's a lot of people out there we haven't heard from. Maybe they're a little shy to come forth, or they're like some people, you know, well, is this real? Is this really happening? Well, look at the world. Look at all the messages. Look at the visions. Look at the times. Look at Israel. That's our God always says, that's your marker. Israel is our marker. And look what Israel's going to go through the month of April. Hello?
And speaking of the marker, right before the show, I opened up the Bible right to the page that says the Lord, he marks the seasons with the moon. He marks the seasons with the moon.
Oh. Wow.
So this moon, it's the end of the rapture season. That's the reason why he's marking in red. I believe it's not because it's the beginning of the rapture season. It's the end. April 15th ends it. That's what I truly believe. I mean, it makes perfect sense
Boy,
for it to be that way.
Something's happening. Something's happening.
But even
happening.
If so, you got Easter. You got Easter coming up. And Pat, me and Jason were talking
April
about 20th, this earlier.
April 20th. Yeah.
Yep, you got the Pope Francis. He's going to be beamed in 3D worldwide on April 27th.
Are you kidding?
Yes, he's going to be. There's going to be a 3D hologram or a 3D beaming of the Pope Francis worldwide on April 27th. And I feel like God told me.
That's pretty real. I've seen a video of they did it with a Tupac concert here a while back, and
they basically
hologrammed him there.
Yeah, that you can do
that.
Even hologram stuff. You know what they think the biggest hologram is going to be? Putting Jesus Christ in the sky and saying
mm-hmm.
that's him.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, have you
got
to have the Holy Spirit for discernment on that one.
A lot of people believe that they will beam Pope Francis's face. And we know that for a fact because he is the false prophet. Now, what does the false prophet do? He is the man that's going to call himself God in the Great Tribulation. The Antichrist will be forcing the mark of the beast and creating nuclear war, while the false prophet will call himself God, and they're rebuilding the third temple for
the Pope
to move into. He's the one that's going to move into Jerusalem after he calls himself God, and he makes fire come down from heaven after the rapture. God says the false prophet will make fire come down from heaven. So if they're going to beam his face worldwide 3D on April 27th,
God told me that's disturbing.
that will be the announcement of the aliens, though. So
that's
the rapture, that's more proof of the rapture. When he does that, the rapture will have happened already, and he will be announcing, and he will be the one that gives the explanation on the aliens being here, the demons, which they are demons.
Well, that's what the rapture is. The government is going to tell the people of the world that the aliens took the annoying, stupid Christians up, and now we're free of them, so now we can party, you know.
mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah,
again,
something like that.
This is stuff that people know. You know, it's not really just a theory anymore. It's kind of proven fact.
No,
if you look
it
up,
theory.
People know. No,
it
people
is.
Know
I've read
that's
this.
What they will do.
I've read this. We're in for
like
it. I mean,
well, guys,
I
got to bring somebody else online here. We've been
jibber-jabbering.
I always like to hear a new angle. No, Pat, you're still with us. 66. I never can remember if that's Stacy or Leah. Hello, 626.
It's Leah, but Faith is not here right now. I think she feels good. But I'm just listening at the moment.
Hi, honey.
Hi,
love
Pat.
You.
Hi,
Jennifer.
Hey there, Leah.
Hi.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm happy. How are you?
Good.
Very good.
Good.
Getting ready to leave this planet. What about you?
I'm
leave this planet too, right?
Definitely getting ready to do that. That would be like awesome.
Amen.
Well, Leah, what's got you so happy?
You know, honestly, it's just the Lord. He's been really working in my life and in my family, and He's been doing like a lot of just personal healing with relationships. I was definitely having a lot of problems with my husband, and I've seen so much improvement. I had some really awesome, you know, brothers and sisters in RCC praying with me and praying for me. So I've definitely been seeing much healing in that area. And
awesome.
Even with my grandma, she's sick. She's like, I take care of her. She's 91. She has Alzheimer's, and she has been like getting worse and like bedbound. And like in like the past, I want to say week and a half, I've been seeing her get some more of her strength back, where she's actually been getting up and like walking around little by little more. And that to me is absolutely amazing. Some of the other things that she's done have kind of been cursed, so I've been seeing like a lot of improvement in that situation, and so I'm like super happy.
Wow.
Amen.
And powerful warrior bride prayers.
Yep.
That's
great.
A testament of what God's been doing. He's been doing a lot of healing in this church. He's doing the healing, and that's a testament to say that he's coming now, because that's the last thing he's doing with RCC until we get out of here, is healing us. Healing us and keeping and making us happy before we get translated. It's the only thing left for him to do. It's the only thing left for him to do. Amen. Praise God.
I'm hoping he takes past birds.
Right here,
I know, they're too
crazy.
Noisy.
I'm trying to think of that as a confirmation back there. The birds are like, yes, come. He's coming.
Oh, they're sweet. They are. They when they whistle beautifully, then it's worth listening to them. But you know what? The birds outside are all chirping because it's spring, and they go nuts. My poor birds go nuts listening to all these other birds.
I'll bring Christine on here, 470. Hello, Christine.
Hey, family.
Hi, love.
Hey, Christine.
Hey, guys. Hey,
How are you?
I just want to say hi and be together with y'all. I'm blessed by today, too. I had an awesome conversation with my 16-year-old daughter, where sometimes it's just not like that. And where she's giggling and laughing, and she was with her friend. She's like, Mom, talk for them. They say we sound like twins. And, like, she was just so giddy and so light. And I haven't heard her like that in a long time.
Praise God.
Got to talk to my sister, Ashley. Thank you, Jason, for giving me her for a little while.
Well, I only loan her out for a short time.
Yes, I love her. And Dustin, I want to tell you, brother, I am with you. God, we're so gone. Because let me tell you something. This is, again, I'm going to preface this with all glory, honor, and praise, and focus on Christ and the power of the living God within us. But I think I mentioned that, and Jason, I know you know about this, whatever, but it was really miraculous because my husband and I think I mentioned that we went over to help out this couple, you know, like a few weeks ago that were like, I mean, they have four kids between them, and they were just like bad place. And they like, he's been wanting us to go back over because I feel like his heart is softer and everything, the husband and everything, but she hasn't. And she's a hard nut to crack, this girl. Like, she's a believer, but she's very protective and everything. And she's like, no, I don't want them to come over again because we're just going to run them off too, because we're not, like, she thinks, like, they're not, like, going to change. You know what I mean? So I don't know how it happened, but something happened where she wound up contacting me last night, and she was like, let's get together, me and you. So I'm, like, going crazy because I'm like, I don't want to meet with this chick by myself because their marriage is on the line. And I, like, started freaking out. Like, I honestly, you know, I was looking at myself, and I wasn't looking at the Lord and an opportunity he was setting up for me to, you know, for me to just be a vessel and for him to, you know, work through me. So I was like, okay, I'll meet up with you and everything like that. And I met up with her for lunch, and she's just spewing out stuff about their marriage and the bad place that she's at and just all these wounds even from childhood and everything like that. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. I'm, like, praying inside my head. I'm like, I don't even know what to say, Holy Spirit, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And anyway, we were there for like a couple hours so, and I felt like the Spirit was on me, and like I held up the Bible at one point, and I was like, so-and-so, you know, there's so much in here that I could tell you, but I like put it down on the table, and I have to thank my rapture-centric family for this. This is why I'm sharing this, to just let you know what hour is, because God is working miracles, and he's working quickly. I said, none of what this says in here matters for you to go home and do, or how do you be with your husband, or if you don't have love. If you don't start off with love, you've got to get filled with God's love to be, you know, that wife, that mother, that friend, that sister. You have to let him pour that into you, amen, heal you so you can give it to him or whatever. I was like, so I'm not going to go over any, you know, quote-unquote verses or this or that or whatever, because that's, again, not going to matter if you don't start there. She's like, well, what do I do? What do I pray? Whatever. So now I'm, like, freaking out. And the Spirit of the living God was just like, I mean, I felt the Holy Spirit was just like, you go home and you get in his presence. And, again, that's something that you guys have, like, helped, like, just pour into me. And, like, honestly, I'm going to say it crying. Like, I told her that. I was like, you just want the presence of God. You just want him just soak him in and be with him. That's what he wants from us. He made us. He created us for that and everything like that. Well, so that's the short story of it. We wrap up, whatever, pray, you know, she goes, I get text messages from her later. Jason, I didn't even send you, like, everything that was going on. She winds up, boom, 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 sending me text messages saying she went home, got on her face, and the Lord started showering her with him, who he is. And he told her, be a Mary at my feet because I'm about to raise you up as a Deborah. And when we were leaving, Dustin, this is what I was going to tell you, when we were leaving the lunch, I wasn't talking about rapture, none of that stuff. I was really just being like, you know, whatever. And then at one point I did tell her about the blood moons and stuff. I said, look, I've told you this before, but maybe in the past people have had years and years to get it right. Well, we don't. Okay, we don't have that type of time. And I told her about the sign, how I saw, you know, first mun, you know, first blood, you know, blood, you know, mun, final days, right? And I told her about that story. And I said, there's a lot that's going to go on, and it is going to start this month and everything. And she, you know what she says to me? She goes, you know what? Since you and Aaron have come to our house, she's like, first of all, God has opened my husband's eyes because she was saying this about her husband. He never thought about the rapture being close or anything like that. So he's all set. He's ready. He thinks he's even going, and like, I might not. And I had a vision of him being Elijah and being taken, and her being Elisha. And you know what she says to me? She says, I'm not actually sure if I am going to be, because the Lord's been telling me that he's got a lot of work that he wants to do in me yet to prepare me for the kingdom. And I may be here. I don't know. I just feel like he's raising me up as a warrior and to preparing me for battle. And I said, I was sort of freaking out because of the vision the Lord gave me. And I was just like, okay. Then she goes home, soaks in the presence of the Lord. He tells her, be at my feet like Mary right now, because I'm about to, because in a moment it's about to switch and I'm going to raise you up as a Deborah, for the battle. And wow. I'm freaking out because I'm like, and she's like, I got to be there. I got to be there for my husband. I got to be there for God. I got to be there. A miracle.
Oh,
these people were done. They weren't even talking. Like, they nothing. And I took what, like, God's given me, and God's given me, you know, obviously with my rapture-centric family and how special he's brought us together. We're stronger, you know. We are the body, you know. And in certain weaknesses we have, other people, you know, have those strengths, and we rejoice, and we pray when people need prayer and everything. And I just, like, literally took that and gave it to this girl of everything that he's been doing with us and the family. And within a matter of what, from last night, where she was like, my heart is, I'm dead inside, that's it, it's just done or whatever, to today, sending me bam, 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 text message, the spirit fell on her, and she was just like, no, this isn't even just about now. She's like, this is about later. And I gotta let him do this. So I just want to share that and not make it about me
praise
at all.
God.
It is not. But I want to just tell you, that's him telling her, you have no more time.
Yeah.
You have no more time. Right now, yeah, soak in my presence, but it's about to change. And you know what I mean? Like, let's do this. And I just had to share that with you, like, true, real-life miracle of saving a relationship, which is going to impact the children and everything else that, you know, the kingdom work that is right ahead of us. It's right ahead of us. And when that happened today, Dustin, and I know Judy's been talking about it, and our rapture-centric family at night has been being healed and everything like that, it's not just physical hearing. This girl's heart was sick. And I've seen a transformation, a miracle in front of my eyes today that this family is going to be saved.
Man, praise God. Thank you, Lord, for healing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Praise God for that.
Jesus. I just had to share that with y'all because it's like it's impacting greater than we know now. It's greater.
Than we know.
Oh, yeah.
Way greater than we know.
And I thank Jesus, and I thank you, Jason, and Dustin, and Pat, and Judy, and I mean, everybody, because I know that I have grown too. I have grown together with you guys. I was just telling Ashley today, I was like, he let me meet up with, like, my peeps that I'm going to be, like, with in eternity, like, now, to, like, bond with them and be like, you know, we're here. Like, we were joking about how we were going to be, like, interlocking arms and be like, look at that. Oh, check this out, you know. Like, when you walk into an amusement park.
We're
going to be one big group, just like.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah,
one big family.
Running and tackling each other and hugging each other. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, so that's my
absolutely.
Deal. But I just,
thank you.
I just had
that's
to
great.
Tell you guys, and hopefully you're
it's
blessed
awesome,
by that.
Christina.
Very.
Her getting that out of nowhere when she's just got that, like you said, she's got a heart that needs mending, and Lord mends it and then tells her that, now I'm taking you up. This is why, hey, we have to get your heart mended up. It's time to go.
Yeah, time to go.
Amen. Praise God. See, awesome testimony that we're getting. That's just God pouring out his spirit, you know, gifts to us while we wait.
Amen.
Praise God. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much. You know, it's time. So, you know, God prophesied over the church a few days ago, probably a week or two ago, and said that he was going to be healing everybody until we left. And ever since he said that, it's been people healed physically and spiritually and mentally, people that listen and people that don't necessarily listen. Through the members of RCC, through the people that are listening in, he's been pouring out his miracle healing. So thank you, Jesus Christ, for that.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen.
But yes, it's an exciting month. It's an exciting month. It's only going to get more exciting. It's only the fifth day in, and we've had some exciting things happen.
Yes.
You know, around the world and in the church. So.
Yes. Look what's happening. Look in the last few days. Everyone sharing healings, you know, words coming through to encourage us. I mean, it's just, he's pouring it on. Thank you, Christine. That was incredible. That my heart leapt with joy when you told me about what he told that girl you were speaking with. Oh my goodness! I'm like, Right on, right on.
I was freaking out. I really was. And then she didn't even say that. She's like, okay, I'm going to go read the story now. So where's Deborah again? Like, you know, and I was like, you know, we were like, oh, it's in Judges. She goes back and reads that, and then she sends me more text messages because she, like, went into a study about it, and she was like, okay, Deborah was an influencer, and something about, you know, it means bee, and bees produce honey, and Jesus is my honey, and you know what I mean? Like, all this stuff, and I was like, oh, my gosh, I'm, like, getting schooled by this, you know, girl who was just sitting across from me asking me, like, basically which end is up, and she's got this, like, revelation, and she's totally, like, now schooling me on what,
wow.
you know, the story
wow.
of Deborah means, and I was, like, a real-life miracle. I just couldn't even text anything back. I was just like, wow, oh, my, like, praise God. Like,
amen.
I was just like... Yeah.
Right. It's exciting.
It's exciting.
Every day he's lifting us up through each other. You know, it's like incredible. That was incredible. I'm so happy for that girl. Oh, my gosh. I'm so happy for your friend. My gosh. That's a miracle right there. You know, what he
did to
her.
Well, I'm happy, too, because I felt like I was walking into the lion's den, and I was like, this can go one of two ways.
Right.
So,
yeah.
You know, because sometimes misdirected anger, you know, could
mm-hmm.
be
wow.
spewed out on those who are there to hear it. And I was like, Lord,
God,
I'm just being
you.
Obedient to what you're telling me. And so, therefore, you know, I was blessed by it, obviously, here to share.
Yes.
And I know that, you know, others listening, but... You know,
definitely
so, again, that for me was a big, big deal because it was, again, a family falling apart. This is a very attractive couple. When we went over to see them, I even told them, I said, please forgive me, but you guys have aged. You guys, you see the stress in your physical beings, I said. Something, you know, you got to release and you got to give this all, you know, to God and everything like that. And through prayer again and just everything, his spirit fell down on them. So I saw a new breath, you know, of life. And
yeah.
she saw her husband, he was out at the time when she was saying all this. But when he came back, I just was like, oh, this is going to be like a reunion, you know,
yes.
like a reunion. Yeah.
Surprise.
we're going to have a reunion, all right. We're going to meet each other tomorrow in the flesh. We'll be meeting
yes.
tomorrow in the air.
Yes. I'm ready
Christine,
tonight.
You got to go back to the zoo.
We're ready.
You got to go back to the zoo.
Yeah, see, oh, I know, right? I was like... Oh my goodness! I text Jason. I was like, "All right, I'm getting on the train, right?" And then I was like, "But you know what was really freaky? My friend that I went with, because we met up with like you know some homeschool people. My girlfriend met us up there. She mentions it. She goes right before Aaron and I got on the trains. So I think it was a marker, Dustin, for real, like for real, because she before we got on the train, we're cracking up because this girl's sitting there with an A Atlanta Braves shirt. So Aaron and I look at each other and we start laughing, and my girlfriend goes, what are you guys laughing about? So then I had to tell her the whole story, and she goes, you know what's so funny? And again, this is my friends. You have to understand, they're not my Raptor-centric family. They don't talk like this. They only think about these things because they have Christine, their crazy friend, who brings this stuff up. And
right.
So she goes, you know what's funny that you mentioned that? She's like, I actually thought, well, what if today is the day that we go? And
oh,
I said,
wow.
What? Really? Are
what?
You like, hello? Like, she goes, I don't know why. It was just a passing thought as I was driving into Atlanta myself. And I thought, well, my husband's at work, but he'll meet us up there. She says that. Okay. So
wow.
I'm like, oh. This is crazy, you know? And so I was just laughing. And then I was leaving the park, and I said, I'm leaving the zoo, dot, 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 not by translation either. So,
I'm telling you.
Man, that's,
wow.
that's amazing.
Absolutely. And that's beautiful. Oh, boy.
Yep, it's your time. Thank
it's
you, Lord. Today is the 5th. You told me by the 8th, Christine, so, hey, we're going to see if God's lying
ecstatic.
Or not.
Oh, ecstatic. Well, I told you that my baby's, this is real weird, my twin's birthday is on the 15th, My babies are about
exactly.
to turn four. And I said, that's very interesting. I was like, that is very. And I said, I was like, I asked a lot my months ago, you know, when the Lord started showing me that his return was way sooner than I thought it was. I was like, well, are we going to be here by April 15th? And again, it was impressed upon me that he said, no, we will not be there by, the twins will not have their birthday here.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow, that's incredible.
It's
I remember when
so
you first
soon.
Said that. Their birthdays, I mean, what's the chances of their birthdays being on the April 15th and now we're sitting here waiting on it, you know? It's really incredible.
I know.
Wow.
And I talked to John, little 10-year-old John's little older cousin, 13-year-old Gabriel. He says he thinks the Lord told him April 28th, but he said April months ago, and I always bring that up just because it's so awesome. I mean, we were sitting here chasing this thing months ago, and God told a little kid April like a while ago. And again, this kid didn't know anything about the blood moon. He didn't know about the earthquakes happening and all the things happening and going into war and all that stuff. All he knows is God told him April. And he believes.
Wow.
And then he's named after an archangel. His name is Gabriel.
That's a beautiful name.
So come on.
Very blessed. God has plans for that kid. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm more inclined to thinking that the funny thing is like because before I was, I mean, way before like I knew that we wouldn't be here. I mean, and nobody can convince me of this. Because, again, I feel like the Lord told me this very clearly, that my daughter will be 16 when we're in heaven. He gave me a dream 7 or 8 years ago before even being with my husband, that I was going to be with my husband. My daughter, he told me she was 16, and he said that was not a vision for, that was not a dream for earth. That was 8 years ago before I knew about any of this, that was for heaven. Her birthday is on June 8th, which is actually Pentecost.
Yeah.
And, yeah, and he said, so I, you know, again, I know for, like, if nobody, again, can tell me otherwise, I believe for sure, you know what I mean? And now I was asking, okay, let's move it up, Lord. I was like, that's very interesting that my children's birthdays are on the holy days this year, you know what I mean? And
yeah.
That,
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I know, and now I was like, okay, so let's move it up to the beginning of the season with Passover. We're going to be here for that, with the
right.
baby's birthday. And I think, and the reason I was, like, excited about the zoo, to be honest with you, is because we weren't going to do a birthday party for them this year. We were going to take them to the zoo. So that's why I started freaking out when Aaron came up and said, hey, we got $9 tickets to the zoo. I think we're going to go early. I was like, oh, that's because we're not going to be here on the 15th to take them.
Wow, yeah.
So
boy.
That's why I was like,
tell
you.
And you know what, you got some family holidays coming up, and God tells me they're coming up because the family's, nobody in RCC, your whole family's going, but the family's left behind, the families will be torn apart because the children and the babies will be gone. So you got Mother's Day, Children's Day, and Father's Day all coming up, and it's because the children of the world, every child, every infant will be gone by then. So the first one is Mother's Day, and Mother's Day is May 11th.
May 11th.
You know, and then you got Children's Day, June 1st, and Father's Day, June 15th. So God says we're out of here. You think it's a coincidence that those family holidays are coming up right when the Great Tribulation is starting? No way.
I know.
So.
Wow.
Praise God. Yeah. Thank you.
Wow.
Oh, man.
They're gonna be looking for us like they look for Easter eggs on Easter.
Boy,
they're gonna
boy.
Be looking for us. We're gonna be missing. We're gonna be the hidden eggs people will be looking for by Easter.
We'll have an Easter hunt up in heaven.
an everlasting Easter hunt.
The kids can look for the eggs up in heaven.
Yeah, you won't find us down here.
No.
Wow.
Guys, I gotta bring on Chris here from PA. He's been waiting here for a while, so I want to get him on. Hey, Chris.
Hey, guys. What's up?
Hey, Chris.
Chris.
Not much, brother. How are you?
Good. I miss you.
Miss you.
Well, I've been coming. I come
doing
on,
well,
but you guys aren't on the night at night show. I'm at work during the day.
Well, good, sounds like you need to quit your job.
Well, I wish. Actually, you know, that's what I was sharing about this morning was you know, God bless me on, you know, with a better job. You know, he got me back into construction. I got to meet with the guy Monday to discuss, you know, pay, and the guy's, you know, he's a born-again believer. He's, you know, spirit-filled. Working for a Christian construction company is going to be really awesome.
Yeah.
You know, just one of the, you know, I've been praying about it, and, God was really getting on my case about, you know, I was sharing a little bit about it this morning, but, the fact that, you know, I'm blessed. I'm more blessed than I thought, you know, and I always, you know, one of the things he stated to me was the fact that the prophets of old saw into today, okay? They saw the days that we're living in now, and they longed to be in our shoes right now. You know, they wanted to be where we're at, you know, so we are actually that blessed that we get to be part of the generation. You know, it was one of those, you know, I call it the spiritual slap in the face, where he's like, bang, how much more can I bless you than making you the chosen generation that's not going to die? You get to see me flesh to face, you know, face to face in the flesh. You know, I can't give you a better blessing than that. But if you want something, here's a new job, you know. Now shut up. You know, and I'm like, all right, God.
Hey, man, that's just a good point, though, man. They long to be at this point, man. You're right.
Yeah,
that's a good point.
I mean, it states it in the Bible that the prophets of old longed to, when they looked into the future and saw where we are, they wanted to be us. And I've always coveted, you know, God, that was something God was working on me through in just the past week, was about coveting the prophets of old. I'm like, Lord, they saw miracles work. They saw, they watched you walk the earth and walk on water. They watched you heal the sick. You blessed them with the healing, you know, healing the sick and the laying on of hands and miraculous powers. I want to see these, you know, I want to see those things. I want to see visions of the future. I want to see, you know, and he's like, you know, you get to see my face. Shut up and be happy, because they, and that's when he drew me to the scriptures that were, you know, stating that they actually coveted me. You know, not only did they, you know, and I'm like, wow, you know, Elijah, John, you know, Ezekiel, Isaiah, they all wanted to be where we're at. They saw
amazing.
It and longed for it and weren't allowed it. You know, some, like, you know, Elijah will get to come, you know, get to be a part of it anyway, but he longed for it then.
Mm-hmm. And you know, brother, through outlets like the internet and this show right here, we can reach just as many people that they had to reach, that it took thousands of years for them to reach through the Bible. Because back then they didn't have the means of getting the word out. Even if God showed the prophets destruction, they didn't have the means of getting the word out like we have today. They just had to travel on foot. You know, they could probably send a letter or something like that, but definitely couldn't move around and didn't have the technology we have. You know, so that's exciting.
I mean, this is just my theory on things, and they, you know, there's other people that agree with it. They did. I believe that part of what. I mean, I don't think they had the technology of communication that we have, but they had a higher technology than what we think. I believe that, you know, part of the stating in the Bible, as in the days of Noah, I believe part of that is referring to an age of technology like we're in now. I believe there was
that.
Before the days of the flood that they had a higher form of technology. You know, and this is just theory. It's not in the Bible, but
Chris, have you been
watching
that ancient alien show again?
What we believe.
Chris has been watching Ancient Aliens again.
You've been watching Ancient Aliens, Chris.
Yeah,
yes, I have.
Oh, that's awesome.
You know, I don't. You know, I see it as the days of Noah's that there was just people running around being in complete sin. Whether technology helped them to do that, I don't know. It's just I see it as them running around. I mean, God's words are typically more complex than I ever perceived them at in the beginning. But I see what you're saying. I mean, it was more than just, you know, could technology produce more idols?
Yeah, running around in
loincloths
and beating people in clubs.
Well, that's one of the reasons why he wiped them out with the flood, including the Nephilim, the half human and half fallen angels being here on Earth. Another reason why he flooded the Earth, because they were starting to breed with mankind, which is true. I mean, that's biblical. Yeah, they did breed with us, but that's sin. Period. That's what sin is in our DNA. So you can say that that's in our DNA because sin is in our DNA, and you can't get it out without the blood of Jesus Christ. And it won't completely, it'll never be completely be gone until you become incorruptible, period. And we will experience that very soon. But, you know, you're right about that, Chris, though, about the prophets, and they long to be in this day. I know Daniel, when he gave Daniel his prophecies, Daniel asked, when will these things happen? And he says, Daniel, go, because these things will be sealed up and locked until those days. These prophecies will be sealed up and locked. Meaning you won't be able to understand them because you won't be living in those days. So how can you understand prophecies about the Antichrist if there's no Antichrist to compare it to, or tribulation prophecies or anything like that if you don't have them to compare them to? But we're living in a day where we have all those things here, and there's obvious for people to see. You don't have to be it's a gift because you don't have to be a prophet to see and understand the prophecies coming true. You don't have to be someone that prophesies.
No, read the Bible.
Yep, that's what I
watched. I watched a sermon today. I didn't even realize this guy did sermons until today. You ever watch Gary Stearman Prophecy in the News Channel?
No, sir.
I don't know if you guys ever heard of him, but he does this prophecy in the news on your channel on YouTube, and I've watched him do that. And I actually saw him do a sermon today. They recommended a sermon to me that he did. I've never seen him do a sermon, but it's called. Time Travelers of the Bible, okay? And he talks about how, he preaches about how the God, one of the verses of the Bible states that from the end to the beginning, I think is how it's phrased. But anyway, he goes backwards. For God, he created time for us, The God, in God's eyes, eternity has no time. There's no concept of time. So for God, he already experienced the rapture. He already experienced the battle with Satan and the 1,000-year reign of peace. That's all already done for him. Because he's not confined to time like we are. He created that for us. But he goes from the end to the beginning. For him, it's totally different. And one day, once we get our glorified bodies, then we won't experience that either.
Amen.
It's really, it was a good sermon. It was really eye-opening.
He essentially gave us time just to give us time to get right, time to believe in him.
Yeah.
So that we could become incorruptible. Give us time to be like him and have the power of Jesus Christ. That's awesome you said that, Chris, because I heard a message earlier from someone, a message they got from the Lord about the 144,000, and God was just saying that, it's very possible for them to be down here doing their work at the same time. They could be at the wedding feast with everybody else because of the realms of time being different. Someone actually had a message about that, and God told him, he was like, yeah, they can be up here having the feast at the same time they're down there actually doing work.
Exactly.
And who knows, when we get to the kingdom, we have the power of God, so we may be able to be at like two places at one time when we get to the kingdom,
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah, it's incomprehensible. But our glorified bodies might be sitting at the wedding feast, in some aspect for God, our glorified bodies are sitting at the wedding table with him, looking down at ourselves right now going, oh boy, stupid, I can't believe how dumb you are.
You're right about that. They're glorified bodies are already looking at our bodies now. That's incredible. Yeah.
I got to bring Lana on here. It's 413. Is that you, Lana?
Oh, yes, baby boy. It is me. How are you?
Hi, sweetie.
It's good to have you on here, sister. How are you?
Hey, Alana.
Hi, sweetie.
Hey, Pat. Hey, Dustin.
I love.
How are y'all?
Oh, how are you, honey?
We are wonderful.
My glorified body is just looking at me with my Diet Pepsi and my cigarette, fried chicken, and my...
Amen, Diet Pepsi, sister.
He's taking her little glorified head and saying, I got some room.
We're almost there.
I don't know, like I said all along, God doesn't give me a date. You know, he didn't, and he's actually given me words on that. You know, he's like, I didn't even give my son Jesus the date. I'm not giving you the date. You know, I'm like, come on, God. But, you know, he tells me it's soon. You know, and I believe that, you know, I believe we may have days, weeks, tops, I don't know. But all he keeps telling me is just keep sanctifying yourself while you're waiting. You know, while you wait, just keep, you know, taking steps to get closer to me. Because one of these days you're going to hit that step at the top, and there I will be.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, Brother Jason, can I make a request?
I don't know. We don't do requests. When me and Dustin get together, we don't do requests, but we'll consider it.
Sure. Then consider my plea. You know something? You got a lot of anxious brides who would just really like to fly right now. And so I would ask you to play something for us so that our hearts could soar.
A song in the middle of the show? That sounds like some evening show people stuff.
that's some Judy Smith stuff right there.
Okay.
Let me see here. They do got a lot of songs listed on here. Most of the others. Well, they got the Beatles.
A lot of
that. You can't listen to the Beatles. A what song?
The Final Countdown.
Final Countdown. Yeah.
Yeah.
And if I play that song, it'll be stuck in my head for like 2 weeks.
in the
love
songs there, but a good song to check out, guys, is "Walk by Faith" from Elevation Worship. It's really a really really great song. Just a few.
What's the name of that song, Chris?
I believe it's "Walk by Faith."
I think it's already here uploaded. Let me see if this is it.
I'm surprised. Elevation Worship is a church that is in Charlotte, run by Steve Furtick, that a buddy of mine goes to. I don't think anybody knew about it but me.
Yeah, I think this is it.
No, it isn't. That's our song.
Oh, no, that's not it.
That's my song. It's a good one.
Mine's a sin, Jason.
Good thing I got you.
Love it.
No, I don't mean faith, whatever.
beautiful voice, beautiful voice, whoever that is.
Oh, okay.
Final countdown.
Amen.
Now, I was playing basketball at the local school, and I was hearing them play that song out of the
wow.
on the loudspeaker a few days ago. Yep.
Amen.
Like, wow.
Whoa. I love that song.
Amen.
Boy. I know Jason could play songs.
Definitely appropriate.
Yep. Yep. I didn't know he could play songs. That's great.
Well, you know, I can't really. I had to walk away because if I listen to that song, it'll be stuck in my head. So I went ahead and went out to smoke while you guys listened to Chris's favorite. Actually, I can unmute Chris because Chris was like still jibber-jabbering. Well, everybody, you're back, Chris. You're like, hey, that's not the song. Is the song's funny? You're like, oh, that's a, you're, I like making fun. I love making fun. Alana? Alana, are you there?
Yes, my dear. What's up? Thank you so much.
Your request was granted.
Hey, I hear that from my Lord.
From
my Lord.
Oh, beautiful song.
Yeah, I was still talking. I didn't even hear him say muted.
That's Chris for you. That's Brother Chris.
Like, why are you going to me?
What else we got good on there?
I'm going to check on 818 here. I think this is Tana. I'm not sure. 818, are you there? Or are you just listening?
Yes, it is me. I'm on my way to work, but hi, Jason. Hi, Dustin. Hi, Pat. Hi, Chris.
Hi, baby.
Hey, Tana.
Hi, Tana.
Hey, Tana.
And everyone listening.
Hi, honey.
I love you all.
Love you, too, baby.
We love you.
Love you, too.
Guess what? I'm going to see you all very soon, and I can't wait. I'm hugging Jesus first, and then the rest of you.
Yes.
Amen, yes, amen. Yes. And then we're eating Mama Pants pizza under the tree.
Amen.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Mine is your time.
Eat a whole pizza.
Hey.
Yeah, I
there you go. You got it coming.
I want a
whatever you want.
Pineapple.
Oh, okay. That's fine. There's chicken and pineapple as well as shrimp and pineapple.
And I got one ham and pineapple, traditional Hawaiian.
Yeah. No, pineapple's good on pizza.
There we go, talking about food at the end of the show.
Oh,
there
we go. Oh, dear God.
Anyway, I love you all. I'm going to meet myself.
Love you too, sweetie.
Bye.
All right, Tana, be safe.
Soon.
We love you.
Okay.
We'll see you home.
See you with Jesus.
Oh, lovely. Way to go.
Amen. Pat, you got a little E&I for us?
Oh, sure. I'll read this little part here. He says, love calls to love. Answer me, child. I am thirsty for you. What intimidates you? Your apparent neglectfulness, your deficiency, your vagueness, your absent-mindedness? He knows how we are. Your distressing memories? I take charge of everything. I collect miseries and make glorious things out of them. So give me everything. Since we are one, could you be bold enough to say that there is something in your life that could not be for me? There you go.
Amen.
Yeah, give it all. No matter what you're going through, just give it to him. Just give it to him. That's what he wants.
Well, I'm thinking
what
maybe we do a little
about?
Communion.
Yeah, sure. I have a prayer.
Sounds good.
I like a little communion.
You have a diet Pepsi.
Pat's got
out.
A prayer.
Yeah, sure.
Dustin, I bet Dustin's got a prayer too. We'll do them both.
Well, we'll both.
We're doing them both.
All right, 1 Corinthians 11:23. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. Let us eat together. The cup of the new covenant is Jesus Christ's blood shed for you. Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. Let us drink together. Go ahead, Pat.
Okay. Holy, 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 Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. O our sweet love, Jesus, how we all long to see your precious face looking into ours. O blessed hope, fetch us forth today, our love, today, today. But as long as we are here, we will, this is like a little poem, talk to you, our dear. We see the signs, we see the fears, this lack of love, you must be near. So we continue lovingly with all our strength until we arrive on heaven's banks. We're ready to fly away, my love. Today, today, amen, amen, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah. Dustin.
Amen. Brother Dustin.
Yes, sir. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to send up a prayer of healing and a prayer of peace right now over this Rapture Century Church, Lord God. And we just want to lift you up and thank you, Lord. Thank you for bringing us together. Thank you for allowing us to see another day, Lord. And thank you for keeping us healthy enough to see your coming, Lord God, because there are a lot of lives that you're taking now as people are waiting on you. So we thank you for keeping us, Lord. My prayers go up right now for every family of the families that are listening right now, Lord. And we send up a prayer for the entire planet and this entire country, Lord God. We ask that you keep us and keep us away from harm's way, and just to spread your love and your Holy Spirit and pour it out on us, Lord God, and keep us strong until you get here, Lord. So we thank you for RCC. We ask that you continue to work miracles and healings on us until you get here and allow us to fellowship. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen, brother. Take us tomorrow, Lord.
Oh.
Take us. We're gone. We're already gone. I like what Chris said, though. We're already looking at ourselves in the at the wedding table. We're already looking at ourselves. I'm already picking off of Jason's plate at the wedding table.
Dustin, we already discussed this. If we take food off each other's plates, we're going to stab each other with forks. We have to set a precedence for one another for eternity. We can't just let eternity go by without stealing each other's kindle.
Welcome to eternity, Jason. Welcome to eternity.
We'll eat with our hands. There won't be any forks.
There you go.
God's going to, I'm telling you, I've been saying it all along. God is putting us at the kiddie table. We ain't going to get any silverware, nothing. All because of Jason and Dustin stabbing each other.
You want to hear a funny? You want to hear a funny story?
He's gonna put Jason in the hot chair. He's gonna put Jason in the hot chair up to the table.
You want to hear a funny story?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Of course.
When I lived in New York, we had a neighbor, and she was from India, and lovely. I mean, we became like best friends. Her name was Valru. So she invited me over for lunch. So we had peanut butter and jelly because she thought Americans like peanut butter and jelly. That's what she gave me. I mean, she made incredible Indian food. Yeah, but she had us over again for dinners, which are wonderful. But the thing about the forks, there are no utensils. You use roti bread, you scoop everything up, and you eat it. So there are no forks. But it reminded me of that story that she didn't know what to serve me for lunch when she had me over, but the peanut butter and jelly, because that's what Americans eat.
I do. I will mess up some peanut butter. You can't. I can't eat just one peanut butter jelly sandwich. It has to be.
Yeah.
No, absolutely.
I'm a water boy. Like I can eat one ham and cheese sandwich. I can eat one roast beef sandwich, but it's peanut butter and jelly. It's two.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Got it.
Lots of peanut butter. Lots of peanut butter. So you're almost choking on it.
And a cold glass of milk.
Man.
You gotta have a cold glass
of
milk.
Oh man.
I don't know about no milk.
But that was
what?
Precious.
See, now, see, milk is for
chocolate
babies.
Milk.
When you grow up, you know, you quit being a baby, you quit drinking milk. I've explained this to my wife a million times. She don't listen either.
That's because Jason put Diet Pepsi in his cereal. I mean, come on.
Hey, some people
that
have Coke
Captain
and milk
Crunch
together.
Taste right.
They have Coke and milk together. I'm not kidding you. Seriously, it tastes.
Should,
I know, but it doesn't have a bad taste.
Like
yeah, some people. They do. They have Coke and milk.
You must want an early translation on that.
Oh, dear God. Yeah, no, really. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Cereal is delicious. Well, yeah, kind of, I got a text from my sister right now, and I think this is a confirmation of the translation you got.
Okay.
She's actually moving into another place. She lives in Atlanta. She's moving into another place, but she's going to need my help to help move tomorrow. She already told me that, but now she's asking, am I going to be busy Monday and Tuesday, because she wants me to come back to Atlanta with her to help get some things. So this is my first time I'll actually be going to Atlanta out there to her place, I guess tomorrow night and Monday night. So
you coming
to
Atlanta? You going to come visit a sister? What up?
I guess I'll have to come
hey.
Visit a sister. We'll meet
him
at the zoo. We'll meet at the zoo and get translated.
Him. Don't feed him, Christine. He won't leave. You feed Dustin, he'll leave.
This is true. This is true. You feed me some good food, it might not be going anywhere.
I know Jason said that one day. I texted him what we were having for dinner while Aaron, you know, cooks. He's like a chef, and he bakes too, and he's like, it's official, we're moving in with you. I'm like, come on.
I'm telling you, man, her husband, just seriously, her husband spoils the living death out of that woman. He makes, I mean, stuff
yeah.
that, like her text, what she's having for dinner is like me reading something on the menu, and I turn to my wife and say, what does this really mean? What is this? What is this? You know, it's like all fancy and special.
So how did that, what was that confirmation, Dustin?
Well, yeah, the confirmation is that I guess I'll be going to Atlanta to stay with her for the next two nights, and I think that maybe we're going to get translated, and I'll be getting translated from Atlanta. Because
woo!
God
we going
told
up together,
me,
brother. We going
you can
up
hold
together.
Hands.
Woo!
You can hold hands.
We're hold hands. We're going out
yeah.
together. But
yeah,
but God told me.
Whoa.
God told me by the 8th. He told me by the 8th because it's a week before that blood moon, and
yeah.
Tuesday is the 8th. So Tuesday is when I'll be back, and I'll still
wow.
be doing the show. I'll still be doing the show while I'm in Atlanta. But I really do mm-hmm. think that's a major confirmation because I'm not going too much mm-hmm. anywhere. I haven't been going anywhere for the whole year. Like you know, so just. Kind of like confirmation, pretty big confirmation.
Where's she's
wow.
moving with you to North Carolina, or where are you, North Carolina? Or
I'm in South Carolina.
Oh, okay.
And she's coming
with
down
you.
Tomorrow. She's coming down tomorrow, and I'm going to help her get some stuff, and then I'm going back to Atlanta with her until, like, Tuesday, early Tuesday.
Wow.
And Tuesday is the 8th, so I think
wow.
I really do. I think I'm going to end up getting translated, hopefully in her house, with her and her and my brother-in-law. I'll go missing.
Well, you guys need to swap, and you guys come do the evening show, and Judy does the morning show.
Morning's
well, that's what we've
for
been
her.
Doing. That's what we do on the weekends.
Yeah.
Oh, I know, but I get screwed during the week, and all I do is come in and listen to the Beatles all night.
but Chris, where else can you listen to the Beatles?
Nowhere else.
Every time I log in, it's the Beatles or Elvis.
Some other thing, yeah.
And I'm like, no, I want to talk. I want to hear news. I want to hear prophecy. And it's just the Beatles.
Well, hey, we got to bring the guys resurrecting the Beatles. He's bringing them back.
It's cute.
I can't stand the Beatles.
I don't like them either.
You know who I like? I like the Monkees better than the Beatles.
The Monkees were pretty
like
lame.
They're
the
Monkees
too. Were like the Beatle imitation.
I think that was the first tape I ever had was the Monkees. My parents got it for me. It was my first tape I ever got.
Wow.
Back when Jason had the fro again.
Yeah, I was a little tyke running around with a big fro. It was weird, but, you know, I was jamming to the Monkees, so it was cool.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's funny. Oh, wow.
But then I grew up,
yeah,
and I got my first CD, and it was Ice-T, so it was a big change for me.
Yeah, that would then, be, huh?
That's when Jason had braids and a gold chain. And a gold,
it looked pretty
and
weird
gold
out
teeth.
Hauling hay with them braids and that gold chain, but I pulled it off.
You did. You definitely did. It's an awesome yearbook picture you had with the braids and the gold teeth and the gold chain.
Well, ain't no room for that out in the country. Actually, I always felt awkward back then because I grew up listening to either metal or rap. And so it was either Metallica or Eazy-E was in my tape deck, you know. And I always thought it was weird to listen to that music while I hauled hay and stuff. So I'm like, man, I am like the whitest as it gets out here. I'm pure redneck.
Do you realize that listening to Metallica and Eazy-E, do you realize what that phrase, you know, that just completely contradicts
it? It means I have diversity, young man. It means I'm diverse.
Yes, that's definitely what that meant.
Diversity.
Definitely what that meant.
Well, you were, yeah, I'm not even going to get into it because that was, I missed that music.
Oh, you can find God in me too.
I don't think you can find God in those old ones, brother. I don't think you can find God in that old school stuff, man. That was some pretty rough stuff. You know, it's like when Snoop Dogg's first CD, or his album that he finally did after him and Dre put out one, like everybody listened to it, Snoop Dogg, Doggy Style. Everybody was listening to that. I was hearing songs from here the other day, and it just took me seriously. It's like, it's all I remember hearing. You were listening to the CD in your car, and you pulled to a stoplight, and somebody, you could hear it playing out of somebody else's. And,
what are you talking about,
Jason?
They were just coming out with CDs. We were still jamming to those on tape deck.
Oh, I had the tape, too, but I still ended up getting CDs because, you know.
I remember having
CDs
on tape.
Gosh, these old guys, man. Where are these guys coming from?
Seriously, I thought we were the same age, Jason, but I don't know.
Oh, whatever.
My first album was Michael Jackson.
In fact, I'm going to call it. You know what? Christine definitely had a Cyndi Lauper tape, which was probably true blue. And I bet she had a Madonna tape.
I was just
going to
say Madonna.
I did have Madonna. No, really, that's what I was saying. I was like Michael Jackson, Madonna, and I think Whitney Houston. Those were like my first like real albums or whatever, tapes. And yeah, that's
yeah, Christine usually jams out to Whitney Houston in the mirror.
I had vinyl CDs.
Yep, I certainly did. That's wild.
Christine acts like a junk. We were the same age. She's trying to act like she never had a tape deck.
Yeah, remember when we were like babies, and our parents were just transitioning from 8-tracks to tapes was the big thing. I remember when my mom died, you know, she stopped listening to, I was like maybe 2 or 3, I think, or man, I was a little bit old, maybe about 5. And the big thing was she got a tape deck, and it was just a little mini version of an 8-track, and she was in heaven.
Yeah.
Crazy. You know, well, Dustin, you'll never know the anguish of spending your allowance on a tape and then watching your radio destroy your tape and eat it.
Yep.
And wait your allowance for the songs you wanted to hear.
But I do know the anguish of a CD, getting the CD and it messing up. A CD coming
in. Yeah, but you can still dig that out and reuse it. Once a CD gets stuck in there, you can pull it out and reuse. But I'm talking about it ripping the guts out of the tape.
Obliterated.
Yeah.
Those are 70s Afro problems. I'm sorry, I cannot relate.
Hey, I was born in 75. Come on.
Okay.
Oh, you guys.
I'm going too far back. Those are 80s. 80s.
Try 1943.
Oh, yeah,
that's why you guys don't know about those 50s problems.
Really. Oh my gosh.
No, Dustin. Let me tell you this though. Changing it real quick. You just reminded me. That will be very exciting about Atlanta because I just remembered this friend that I had a while ago. She had three teenage boys, and one of her boys like had this real prophetic dream, and she called me and told me about it one day, and she was like, I got to tell you about this, about Atlanta getting hit, being like when things happen, like when things go down, that Atlanta will be one of the cities that get hit, because she said her son, I forgot his name was like Jake or whatever, but he was like, Mom, I had a dream and God showed me like certain friends that were gonna like that I met in heaven. Like he was in heaven, like, and he saw who winded up coming with him during like I guess the rapture or whatever. And he said right before that there was like this broadcast that it was like, okay, there's been war, you know, everything like that. And my girlfriend, his mother, was leaving from work, and she worked like a little bit closer to Atlanta. We live a little bit out in the country. Like, I'm not really even near Atlanta, like 45 minutes to an hour away from it. And so she was like closer to that. And so he calls her, and he's like, they just said that, you know, all this, like, you know, whatever, a nuke went off or whatever it is, and that these are the cities that they were hitting, and they're going to hit Atlanta. You're not going to make it home. And she was like, what do you mean? What do you mean? Because she was in the car, and she, you know, she didn't know. And he said to her, don't worry about it. Like, he was like, he said something like, we're leaving now, and I'll see you in a moment, Mom. And then God showed him in heaven right after that. But he knew that Atlanta was one of the cities that were, like, getting, like, blowing up. God had showed him that.
Wow.
Yeah, and I just thought about that.
I will be gone for that, so don't worry about that.
No, I know, but, like, there's going to be that happen. Like, some people, Jonathan Cleck believes this too, like, for, like, the rapture, again, the timing of the rapture, that happens as they are taken off.
I've
imagined, you know, looking up and watching the missile come down and flying past it. You know, it's not a vision or anything. It's just my imagination. You know?
And some people really have had that vision of the missiles going down and them going up.
This
boy was like 14, and he was telling his mom, he was like, Mom, it was so real. Like, I know you were on your way home from work, and I called you, and I was like, don't worry. Like, he had so much peace and everything because he knows the Lord. And he was just like, I'll just see you in a minute, Mom. I'll just see you in a minute. And then she told me after, because she was like, well, who was all there? And he was like, well, Miss Christine was there. And I was like, okay, that's all I need to know about the dream, you know? But Atlanta, like, when that happened, like, you're talking about, Chris, whatever, there were, like, certain cities or whatever that, and he said, yeah, Atlanta was the one that was, like, getting hit when those missiles were coming down. And I just thought, anyway, speaking of Atlanta, I just thought about that dream.
Wow.
From a kid.
Atlanta.
Yeah. So it'll be your last kiss the ground. Bye.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, definitely my first time going to Atlanta this year.
I'm on it. I don't want to be here. I haven't wanted to be here for 25 years.
We don't
want to
be here either.
About this.
None of us want to be here.
I'm not going to be kissing it goodbye. I'm going to be stomping
ain't
on it going,
out
bye,
there.
Man, rid of you.
Nothing out there.
Hey, man, I'm
ready
nothing
to go. Out there.
That's you guys. I'm ready to go.
Oh, yeah, ready to go.
And better.
It's all around us, the messages, so. And the feelings and the revelations and the dreams. I mean, how much more can Jeff Mike?
He tells me to sanctify, and the closer I know we are. You know, that's my gauge is, you know, I think it's in 1 Corinthians where Paul tells everybody to sanctify and be ready. You know, I can't remember I'm terrible about remembering the actual scripture. But he says, you know, sanctify and be ready because he's on his way. And if Paul was saying that then, and I'm feeling it now, and all I keep getting is shut up and sanctify, shut up and sanctify.
Yeah.
You know,
that's it. We're get ready and we're feeling it. Those two words. And I love what Christine said about her friend. Oh, my gosh, that just made my heart sore. You know, that
well,
she got
Justin
all that.
Brought it up, and that's where he brought up about like the spirit when he was talking to Jason about like the spirit just hitting people by us, like, and I said yes, that is exactly like what happened by just even encountering those who are the children of God, like they can't help but get hit with the same spirit.
Look what happened to your friend. I mean, just like that, you know, God just whoosh, took her, you know, like that, her spirit, and she totally changed. And she said that. I mean, my gosh. That's just happy words there. Boy.
Yeah.
How he grabbed her. How he changed her so quickly. That's very encouraging.
I got excited about our glorified bodies for sure because I was like, this is going to be happening like left and right for the great harvest, you know?
You see what he's doing? He's one after another. He's just encouraging us and informing us and letting us know through each other and others that, wow, at the door. Oh, how could it not be? I mean, it is.
We already got one foot through the door.
Yes, the door, at least a crack, and it's ready to go all the way, you know.
Hey, maybe it's tonight, because I think it was Raina, I don't remember. There was a couple people said that they knew, and including myself, I had felt very strongly about it, but I'm not going to say for sure, about, a Sunday, and I know it's not Sabbath or anything like that, I understand, but a couple of us had dreams or visions of like that, and I was like, it's Sunday somewhere already, so I'm claiming the night.
Yeah. We're right on board, honey.
Yeah.
Raina showed her.
Yeah, get that train ready.
God showed Raina that the translation was in the daytime, so it could be at night, even though he did show her that, you know. And I find that significant too, you guys, because I will be going to Atlanta tomorrow night. So in the daytime, I'll be in Atlanta Monday and Tuesday in the daytime. Then I'll be coming back. So that's just awesome. Then I just got
we cover you. I feel just to say.
What do you all while you're driving down the road looking up, all right?
Jack Dustin, we cover you with his precious blood and holy wounds to keep you safe and inspired and have God send some people in Atlanta to you that you can witness to.
Yeah, please.
You know?
Atlanta needs Jesus.
The world needs
Jesus. I definitely pray for him. Probably won't be around anybody but my sister and her brother-in-law, but that's just awesome. I'm even going. I really think it's confirmation of the translation.
Yeah.
And we'll still be doing this on the show as well.
Yeah.
You guys,
we'll cover you.
My cousin just bought me some Burger King, and the total is $10.44.
Oh, hey. Oh, wow.
There you go.
Okay.
It's time to go.
Oh, jeepers.
Right, well, everybody have a good night. I love you guys.
Love you guys.
Love you. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Love you guys.
Okay.
Love you, Jake.